Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Sports Report. We are your hosts. I am Ben Meredith.
And I am also Ben Meredith.
Today we're going to be talking about all types of different sports, both locally and collegiately, and a little bit of professionally as well, so literally hitting every single square there. But yeah, how was your week, Ben, Dad? Happy Easter to all who celebrate. How was your Easter?
My Easter was fantastic. It's great to be here.
Yep, and so we'll start out in the Wildcat Sports Department. As sports commits from current high school seniors, class 2026, Carver Davis commits to Wofford, I believe, to play football, which is pretty awesome deal for him. Congratulations to him. And then Caden Payne committing to William Penn University in Iowa. This one, I know Caden Payne was very much more kind of public about his recruiting. Carver Davis, I didn't even know he was planning on going to college for sports. And so to see him do this is pretty awesome. I thought he was just going to go for academics because he could get a scholarship for academics as well. But yeah, absolutely awesome to see both guys going for football. Both guys have been Wildcats since the seventh grade, have been star athletes since the seventh grade. Carver's been a high school state championship qualifier since the seventh grade. And so happy to see him finally getting his flowers by getting a Division I program like Wofford's. Pretty awesome deal. And then, do you have anything else to say about that, Dad?
No, it's awesome. Congrats to those guys for sure.
Yeah. And then baseball, I played two games this past week. They played Greenwood Christian and Dixie, both pretty handily. Were you at the Greenwood Christian game or were you?
I was not.
You were not. You were at the Dixie, part of the Dixie varsity game, though.
Correct.
That was a really good game. What do you have to say about that game?
Yeah. I saw the whole JV game and the beginning parts of the varsity game. And yeah, just they played really well, executed. The bats were, they were doing great. And yeah, I was pretty impressed with the offensive firepower and honestly just lack of mistakes.
Yeah.
The easy stuff, making the right play and good base running, things like that were impressive. The JV team also, they capitalized on some of Dixie's simple mistakes and yeah, made the scoreboard look the way it did. Congrats to both of those teams.
Yeah, that was a really good game. The Greenwood Christian game, I don't believe JV played in that day, but varsity played and it was a 9-2, 9-4, something like that. Fairly evident from the jump who was going to win that game. I believe Trenton Singleton even got some pitching time in that Greenwood Christian game, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out to the freshmen. And then soccer, guys are off. They had the second week of spring break off, which was this past week, and then this full week of next week off. But the girls play against Cambridge on Wednesday. So that'll be a fun game to go out and watch if you want to go support the Lady Cats in Cambridge, which is a small school in Greenwood County. So if you are local and you want to go see that, it'll be a good game to watch. The two very competitive teams. Cambridge narrowly beat the Wildcats last time. And then softball plays two times towards the end of the week, home versus Ware Shoals and at Mid-Carolina. At least that is according to the Sports 96 Booster Club website that I get all my scheduling from. It could have changed. And then that's all I have for Wildcat Sports. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, we're entering what feels like the meat of the season for all of these teams.
Yeah.
So that's exciting to see, and I'm excited to watch.
Track has a track meet Wednesday at Mid-Carolina. So if you, again, want to make that trip, if you're local or if you're just in the greater South Carolina area and you're near that area, feel free to come out there. I don't know how much tickets are to get
seven
in.
$7
but it'll be
if they're
seven,
the same as last
time. $7 if they're the same as last time. So that'll be a fun one to go watch. And so, yeah. I believe we're, for the most part, fully healthy, which will be awesome to see track team finally. I'll finally get to watch Caden Conway run in person, which will be cool. I haven't gotten to do that in a long time. And then, or really ever, which is crazy because we've been doing track together since eighth grade. And then college basketball. We're going to switch gears now and talk about some college basketball. We're going to start with the girls' news. There was an entire argument between Gino Auriemma and Dawn Staley in the women's Final Four after the game. Gino was not impressed by some of the actions by the officials and by Dawn Staley's team. And Dawn Staley probably got the maddest I've ever seen her get. And then Dan Hurley headbutts an official at the Elite Eight. Have you seen this clip yet? Please tell me you have.
Yeah. Headbutt is an aggressive way of describing what happened. But yes, I have seen the clip.
Do you have anything you'd like to say about it?
The fact that he made contact with the official's face with his face and did some sort of Jedi mind stare while doing that. Weird? Yes. Weird for Dan Hurley? No. Like, it's an obvious no-call situation. I know there was still time on the clock when that happened, and that's why, you know, some of the commentators were saying he should have been given a technical whatever.
I saw.
Roger Ayers, the guy whose forehead he touched with his forehead. Say what you will about Roger Ayers, but he's been around the block, and he knows what he's dealing with Dan Hurley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was just mildly funny, mostly. You never know what Dan Hurley's going to do, and he's continued that streak of you don't really know what the man is going to do when it comes to dealing with officials, so...
I thought it was pretty funny.
Just stared out weird. It was like this looking is not, into his soul.
This is not in the rundown, but do you want to talk about that game for a second? End of that UConn-Duke game?
We can talk about Duke losing in dramatic fashion in the NCAA tournament anytime you want.
Yeah. So what do you have thoughts on?
No, I mean, it looked like a bunch of never been in this moment type of mistakes being made down the stretch. And that's the same thing Carolina looked like all the way down the stretch in their game. Again, in large part because it's a bunch of haven't been there before type of experienced players. And on the one level, you hate to see it because it's somebody's college career coming to a close. But on the other hand, it's Duke and you love to see it. And, there's so many different ways that it, and same with, again, the Carolina ending, so many ways that it could have happened that they come out with a win, and yet they didn't. It's like all of the things that had to happen for UConn to be even in a place to capitalize on a mistake had to happen in the way that they did, and then they just did. And so, wild finish. Truly, say what you will about sports in general or college sports specifically or college basketball specifically, but coaches preach till they're blue in the face that the game's not over till it's over.
Yep.
And then you see it happen like that, and it's, had UConn, any one of the five players on the court at any given time, succumbed to the there's no way we're going to win this mentality, then that would have been a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's no way we're winning this. But all of them had all of the right responses to, hey, if the clock doesn't say zero yet, I'm going to still play hard. And exciting to see from that perspective. Obviously love to see Duke lose anytime Carolina's not in it, especially. That becomes the only thing I watch the games for, is for somebody to beat Duke.
Yeah.
Although we did watch some Final Four action, which
we'll get to that later.
I honestly only watched because he was watching it, but because once Duke's out of the game and Carolina's out of the game, the season's over for me.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was definitely, talk about entertaining basketball. If you don't have a dog in the fight, that is the type of game you want to watch.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. So for the ratings, for everything else, couldn't be a better outcome for the NCAA. But yeah, I loved every second of that last three.
I have three things I want to say about that shot. One being, I saw another talk show that introduced me the Duke clip of the Duke radio guys saying it. And it was like the whoever it was, so-and-so ran off the bench. It was, that should be a technical. Like, his voice changed so much as he realized how stupid it was as he said it. And then that.
And yes, maybe that could have been a technical in some alternate universe where Duke gets even more calls.
That same talk show guy, he goes, that wouldn't have been a technical if all the UConn players ran on half court and mooned the Duke sideline. That's not even close. And then the other thing I wanted to say was my reaction to finding out how the game that they lost. I was sitting in my church service. Pastor Paul, if you're watching this, forgive me. And I pull out my phone, just check the score to see if it's over yet, and check the score. Duke, it said UConn 73, Duke 72. I cried a little bit, put my phone back away, and I was so happy. And the moment the service ended, the moment the like youth group thing ended, Dad's sitting in the very back because he's a youth chaperone, and I stand up and go, because about half the youth group picked Duke to win their bracket. And I stand up and go, for all those who care, the Duke Blue Devils lost. And Dad stuck both arms up in the air doing a champion pose. And some people are like, are you serious? And then I walked outside, and another friend of mine showed me the clip, and it was absolutely amazing to see.
Three separate text messages during that same youth group meeting, during Pastor Paul's talk, three different people texted me, and I'm sitting in the very back of the room where it's a little bit more acceptable to get on your phone. I got on my phone. I didn't watch the video, but I got on my phone to respond to those text messages. But I felt very seen that three separate friends from three separate eras of my life all felt compelled to immediately text me when Duke lost. They know me so well.
Would I know these people?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just quick question.
They're all either college friends, high school friends, and then one friend that's actually a work-related friend who's also a college basketball fan.
So yeah, and then a couple hours later, the family group chat is going crazy about it, and that was awesome to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we'll move on, unfortunately, so we're not going to have as much fun talking about this one. Tar Heels still looking for their head coach. There are two major signings that happened. Tommy Lloyd re-signed with Arizona, an extension through 2030, I believe, was the year.
Something like
and
that.
And then Nate Oates also signed an extension with Alabama. I don't know how long that was going to be. I didn't really want Nate Oates. I would have been fine with Tommy Lloyd. But also, Billy Donovan was just fired from the Bulls. And so he seems like the runaway. Yeah, he's coming to college. Question is, does he want to come to Carolina? And I think he is, and I think he's going to get that job. I would not be surprised. What are your thoughts towards that?
I have a couple of thoughts. And one is, it is baffling to me that in 2026, the University of North Carolina would fire Hubert Davis without already having a guy lined up. That's wild to me. That is wild to me because I don't know what the leadership at UNC is doing to get rid of a Hubert Davis without having somebody else already essentially lined up. Get it. It can't be official. It can't be anything. You got to respect that have other jobs and blah, blah, blah. But you're the University of North Carolina. You don't have to go begging for a coach. But now, here we are, begging for a coach. And so it was really eye-opening, I hope, for the UNC athletic department to realize that, hey, people don't just line up for this job like they used to. When Hubert was hired, even that recently, people would line up for this job. Now, legacy's not enough. The Jordan brand logo and the Argyle down the side and all of the Carolina Way, all of the things that were selling points just aren't as much right now. And so there's that side of things. As far as Donovan individually, I just know him from his time at Florida, and I didn't love him then, and I don't love the idea of him coaching the Tar Heels now. But as I've said on previous episodes, they might have lost me anyways, just because I didn't want them to fire Hubert Davis.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I'm holding out hope that they can stay in the Carolina family, stay coach the right way, the way we want to coach. Mm-hmm. And this, honestly, truly is not a judgment on Billy Donovan. I don't know how he coaches. I just know when we played against him in 01, for example, I didn't like the guy, just the way he carried himself on the sidelines, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know how, that's been 25 years. So I don't know how he holds himself now and how he coaches. I don't know anything about the guy. I just know that he was the Florida head man way back in the day, and that's my stuff there. As far as other coaching candidates that I'm excited about, there aren't any. So I'm still just waiting for Carolina to announce who the new guy is, and then I'll pass judgment on whether or not it's going to be worth watching for me. I'm sure I'll still watch some, but I'm just not going to care about it like I did when it was Hubert.
But yeah, so I'm going to say my one opinion on this, which is I think that the fact that we have a guy like Billy Donovan, who, like, everyone in the modern day of basketball is saying the college is the new pros, basically. It's like a summer league almost. Like, you're going to get pro-like in college. And Billy Donovan sucked in the pros the last 5 years as a coach. And I get it that Chicago is not like the greatest talent. They're going to rebuild. They traded away Kobe White. They traded away Vucevic. They have one guy on their roster who's above 6'10". But like, at the end of the day, he still had Vooch. He had Vooch, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Kobe White all on the same team and didn't win anything. So I don't see what he's going to do with whoever he gets out of the portal. Because it's not like he's coming. If you were to get, I'll just name Mark Few. Again, please don't. But if you get Mark Few, you're at least bringing over 8 guys from Gonzaga. If you get Billy Donovan, you're bringing...
I don't know. Can't they bring back NBA guys now?
That's valid. Some G guys.
Maybe we should pull over the entire G League Chicago team with him. Yeah. I'm going with my coach.
See what happens. That's a very valid point. But yeah, and then my two other kind of like candidates, Sean May hasn't announced where he's going anywhere that I've seen. I haven't seen him like publicly say, hey, I'm going, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, me neither.
Like Paige said he's going to Charlotte, and I heard a rumor that he was going to follow Paige to Charlotte, but I haven't seen that. I haven't seen him going anywhere else. And then the other one, I'm blanking on his name, the former Vanderbilt guy is a Carolina guy.
Stackhouse,
yes. He's the only other guy right now that I'm like, I can see him being Carolina guy. But I just don't like the idea of Donovan. I think I'd prefer Stackhouse or May. I think I'd prefer May because that way, if you get May, you don't have to get 7 transfer portal guys. You can keep them at least parts of the roster. We've seen... We're losing, as of now, we've lost 4 guys. Seth Trimble to graduation, Caleb Wilson to the draft, Jaden Young just went to the portal a couple hours ago, and Isaiah Dennis went to the portal last night. And so we don't know who's going to come back. For all we know, it could literally just be our walk-ons on the roster by the end of the month of April. We have no idea. And so I'm curious what the plans are. But did you read Isaiah Dennis's statement?
I did not.
I liked his statement and how much he thanked his professors. He thanked basically everything to do with Carolina and his timing there. And he said he would not, it was similar to like when Seth entered the portal and then came back immediately. It gave me those vibes. Like I would not be, he said, my intent is to enter the transfer portal, but I would not be ashamed to come back to Carolina or something like that. Like I would enjoy to come back.
You almost have to do that when you don't have a head coach right now. It's like
that was one of the main reasons he put it in his thing was with dumb. The coaching uncertainty. I don't know what's best for me right now.
It would be dumb for anybody to be like, yes, I'm absolutely staying with North Carolina right now, unless they know something we don't know, which is who the new head coach is.
Yeah.
But you can't be like, I'm just all in on North Carolina. Nobody's all in on North Carolina. The most diehard fans aren't all in on North Carolina right now.
Yeah.
Every day that the North Carolina head coach position stays open and unannounced is probably taking 5 wins off of the next 5 years. Like, it's dramatically affecting the talent that we're going to be able to think, which, again, brings me back to my first point. It is amazing to me that they would get rid of Hubert Davis without a plan.
Yeah.
Like without something already like 9/10 of the way done. Roy didn't leave until he knew Hubert was coming. Like I cannot imagine. And I'm sure Daugherty didn't get shown the door until it was certain that Roy was coming. We're North Carolina. We should not be begging for a head coach, but here
absolutely.
We are. Here we are begging for a head coach because we decided to do it in a different way. We'll just do it like all these other teams, and we'll find this magic fairy dust of a head coach out there that's going to magically take us to 5 NCAA tournament championships in a row or whatever. It's just stupid.
I'll have one more thing to say before we go to the Final Four recap. That being, I'm very curious what Coach Sargent has to say about this. He's a Tar Heel fan. I haven't talked to him about it publicly, but I know he was a very pro get Hubert Davis out of here guy. And so I'm very curious to see what he has to say about the fact that it's been almost 2 full weeks since Hubert's been fired.
Yep.
And there's nothing. And so I'm very curious to see what's next for the Tar Heels. And I'm very curious to see what other Tar Heel fans have to say, not just the two of us, because we're all alone out here in the middle of South Carolina when it comes to Tar Heel fans. But Final Four, UConn beat Illinois controlling most of the game the entire way. Did you catch any of this game? I did not.
I saw just a couple of highlights, nothing live.
I didn't see anything really too crazy. The Mullins kid had a game, and then some other guys had a great game as well. And then Michigan blows the doors off of Arizona. 90 points in all 5 of their March Madness games so far. I believe that's a record. I could be wrong. Pretty amazing there. And then Michigan is a 7.5-point favorite ahead of tonight's game. That is tonight at, I believe, 8:30, because who needs sleep? But yeah, what were your thoughts on that Michigan-Arizona game? I know we both watched that one.
Yeah, it was obviously Michigan controlled it throughout. There was never a point where you were like, oh yeah, they're about to lose it. But at the same time, I was not, in watching it, I wasn't like, man, this team is just head and shoulders better than this other team. They were still making bad passes. They were making, there were periods where they couldn't make a bucket. I'm speaking of Michigan. But yet the scoreboard always looked like Michigan is blowing the doors off of this team.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting in that regard. And I thought it was interesting that the difference makers was the hustle. You never saw them take their foot off the gas, even when Carolina did, when we were up 15, 19, whatever, we took our foot off the gas. Michigan obviously learned that lesson. They watched the UConn-Duke game. They saw, yes, we're up right now, but there was no drop-off of that intensity. So that was very encouraging to see people figure it out. Hey, the game's not over till the game's over. And so don't let people think that they're going to get back into it. Put your foot on their neck and keep stepping. So yeah, it was not all that entertaining of a game. Obviously, if you're a Michigan fan, it was fun to watch.
Very entertaining.
I was most impressed by the fact that their intensity, even when they couldn't shoot and their defensive intensity stayed up the whole time, suffocating defense at times. And so yeah, that was great. Fun to watch.
Yeah. And then I was just shocked at the way, Arizona just folded over at times. It was very weird to see. They went the first 4 minutes of that game without a field goal.
Yeah.
It was 1-13 to start the game before they finally hit it was a really pretty shot that I think an Arizona guard hit. I'm just like, wow, that's bad. Like, yeah. I don't know if it was the whole Tommy Lloyd flirting with North Carolina job thing or what, but it was a shocker to me to see that.
A lot of times in these huge arenas like that, you're going to see shooting struggles, but not like that. Not to the degree where they looked like they didn't think they were going to make a shot.
Yeah.
They were playing like, oh my God, what has happened? What is a basketball? Like, but yeah, these huge arenas, we've said it before on this podcast, it's ridiculous that they play in these huge arenas.
Yeah.
We get the financial incentive to put 70,000 people in a room instead of 20,000 people in a room, but it noticeably affects the game.
But expensive tickets. It affects the game. We remember, and we'll probably remember for the rest of our lives, Armando Bacot getting his ankle rolled because the floor collapsed, and who knows if we would have won the national championship game. But still, it sucks that we have a guy who it hindered him for that ankle. Hindered him for a long time in his college career. Not just that season, hindered him for a senior and redshirt, or not redshirt senior, his COVID senior year. Mm-hmm. It sucks that we have to say this. Indianapolis, the Pacers are right down the street.
Right.
They have an NBA arena. Lander played in an NBA arena this week. We'll get to that one in a second. We can play these games in NBA arenas.
Right.
We can play these games in college arenas. I don't understand why we're having this whole debate over, oh, it's cool because it's like your fan experience. It's not, though.
Yeah.
85% of the seats are a spot where you can't see the game.
Yeah.
I'd rather get a top of the Dean Dome seat than any seat in that building.
It's terrible. It's a TV show, right? Like, the whole point of this thing is a TV show. And if you don't believe me, go watch it. And every 37 seconds, you're going to see another set of ads. Like, it's a TV show. They're raising money via advertisers for this thing. So the number of seats in the building is dwarfed by the number of viewers online and the number of viewers on TV. And so,
yeah.
Like, I don't see why they can't monetize. Having it in a bigger arena makes a worse product for the actual thing that you're ostensibly
every
trying to
aspect
sell.
Of it.
There's nobody that's what we need here is to play this thing in a bigger arena.
The only thing, and genuinely, is the only thing about that, about the way they do that, is the step up for the, I like the way the benches are on those games where they have like a super extended sidelines. I like that. That's the only thing about this. And there's 100 things on that list that I despise. And it's, yeah, I'd rather go to, like, is terrible. Imagine you get a nosebleed seat for a football game, for a basketball game. It's ridiculous.
Like they, I hope they put monitors close to those people.
Yeah, I very much do. Because they paid money to not see the game. It's terrible. But yeah, that's all I have for college basketball. Do you have anything else you'd like to add about college basketball? Who do you got tonight? Who do you think is going to win it all?
Who's playing?
Michigan and UConn.
Yeah.
I've had that question asked to me about 12 times this week.
So. I think I'm probably going to pick Michigan, but I'm not confident in that pick. Having watched a little bit of both teams over the past couple of weeks, if Michigan keeps the amount of fight they had in the game throughout this UConn game, I don't think you're beating them. Elliot Cadeau, shout out Tar Heels, just played great for the majority of the game. And having that kind of presence on the point guard level is tough to beat.
Before we move on, we're going to discuss a little bit of breaking news out of the college basketball world, especially the Tar Heel world. We just spent about 15 minutes talking about Carolina basketball, and they have hired their replacement. I believe his name is Mike Malone out of the former Denver Nuggets team head coach. Pretty major deal to see that. And I'm a little shocked for words a little bit. I'm excited to see that we have a head coach. Not so excited about who the hire was, because this came out of absolute left field. When I said it, Dad said, "Who?" out loud, because he had never heard of him, because he doesn't watch the NBA. I don't watch the NBA that much either. But this came out of nowhere. Yeah, Michael Malone is the school's next head basketball coach, per Adam Schefter, Pete Thamel, and ESPN. Out of left field, don't know anything about the guy.
Is that the dude that was on the Carolina Insider podcast?
I have no idea.
Maybe.
No clue.
Yeah, it was an interesting interview if it's the same guy. Yeah, I'm looking at my phone as I speak here. But yeah, he was, if it's the same guy I'm thinking of, head coach and assistant in the NBA for more than, over two decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, so interesting hire for sure. We'll see where it goes. I'm glad we hired somebody. As I said just moments ago, they've almost lost me already as a lifetime North Carolina fan. So we'll see what comes of this and how things are going to go from here.
But yeah, so before we talk, we're going to talk the rest of the show. We're going to talk briefly NBA, briefly NFL, MLB, and then a little bit of Lander to finish the show out today. So yeah, NBA news, the Lakers lose their two best players to injury, likely for the remainder of the regular season and definitely for the remainder of the regular season and likely the rest of the playoffs, at least the first series. And they lost the Mavericks on Sunday by 8. I stayed up to watch the end of that game. Austin Reeves to an oblique strain. He was their number 2 option behind Luka Doncic, who had a hamstring injury in a game against the Thunder that they narrowly lost. And so that's pretty crazy there. And then rookie of the year between two former Duke guys, Cooper Flagg and Konkan Nipple. Cooper Flagg had a 41-point triple-double. I think it was just 40-point double or something like that. It was a very good game for Cooper Flagg in a game where kind of all points were needed towards the end of the season. They're not a team that's going to go to the playoffs, but they definitely have something to look forward to with Cooper Flagg. And then Konkan Nipple, he's on a team that's good, which I think the only thing he really has in the debate for rookie of the year, and he has the most threes in Charlotte franchise history, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, do you have anything you'd like to say about the NBA? Or
nope,
not really.
I hadn't watched a single bit of NBA, so I'm not going to be very helpful.
Yep.
There.
And then yeah, so we'll go down to the NFL. It's truly the deadest part of the offseason, but Raiders signed Kirk Cousins to a multi-year $172 million deal. Put that man's agent in the Hall of Fame. I'm so serious here. Like, he's getting, like, everyone in the world thought he's going to get a vet minimum for after his last deal in Minnesota, which was still expensive. He was going to get a vet minimum at some other random team. And then he comes in and it's just, huh? And he gets a massive deal from the Falcons. It's just like out of nowhere. And then he goes to the Raiders for multiple years. I'm like, makes no sense, especially when you have the number one overall pick and you're about to draft the future of your franchise in Mendoza. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But also there's the fact that Kirk Cousins and Fernando Mendoza, who already look like long-lost brothers, are going to be on the same football team and talking. I've been told it looks like a sitcom possibility. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have any?
I mean, I don't really know much about it. I did see the video that you showed me commenting on that. And yeah, it looks to be some oil and water type of situation as far as personalities and all of that kind of stuff. But it'll be entertaining, to be sure.
Yeah, there's not going to be many arguments in the locker room over what music to pick in the QB room.
That's right.
I saw one thing where like they could co-pastor a church together. There's lots of things that these two could do together. I definitely see this being a lifelong thing that could be formed here. And then in the MLB, Yankees are doing pretty solid. They had one loss at one point. They could have changed by now. It changes hourly who's playing when and whatnot. Right. But the Braves have a 6-3 record. They blew the doors off of Arizona in game one of that series. Did you see that game?
I did not.
They went to Arizona and I believe they had like a 7-run inning and they won 17-2. It's absolutely crazy. And then Joe Adell, have I showed you the clip of Joe Adell yet?
No.
Joe Adell robs 3 home runs to help beat the Mariners 1-0.
Wow.
In one game. He robbed 3 home runs himself. The last one, he jumped over the right field line, like over the right field fence to rob it, and is standing in like the bleachers. And because the way that field works, I guess, is there's like a hip high fence that you can hurdle over. And he like jumped over it.
Wow.
And did a front flip over, like his head, like it's at hip level, and then rolled over it. And then is standing over the fence holding the ball, doing the typical, like, I got the ball, I robbed it. And they called it an out. It's not a homer. They called it an out.
Yeah.
And it's one of the coolest pictures ever.
That's great.
Standing in the stands holding a ball. And it's pretty awesome to see. And then, that's all I have. Do you have anything to say about the MLB?
Nope. Hadn't seen much MLB yet this year.
But hoping to get to watch some, but that's one other thing that I feel like I could rant about is how lack of availability the MLB is to the public. Like you have to have some MLB Plus subscription on like Paramount or some NBC. Like it's not even available on YouTube TV, which has every other sport. I could find hockey if I wanted it. I could find USA men's field hockey. Heck, I could probably find Lander field hockey before I could find MLB in some cases. It's ridiculous.
It is interesting because there's obviously a ton of money in baseball.
And there's...
But they... Maybe that's it. The exclusivity of... You to be a baseball fan, you have to subscribe to...
Or you have to live near the area. But it's like, they had a game in Atlanta. It was Atlanta versus the Athletics, wherever the Athletics are now. Are they Oakland? I thought they moved.
I didn't think Oakland.
They're either still in Oakland or they're in Las Vegas, one of the two. And they moved, but it was in Atlanta, and it was blacked out in Greenwood, South Carolina. Why? Exactly. It's right up the street. Down the street. It's what, 3 hours to Atlanta from here?
Yep. Like, not counting traffic. About 6 hours of traffic.
Yeah, so it's not a long drive. You don't even get fully in the air on a plane. Like you just glide above the trees in a plane. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If we're playing in Atlanta, I should be able to watch, and I should, from my couch with a YouTube TV subscription, be able to watch 85% of Braves home games. So, that's what, 60-ish games?
Yeah.
60-ish games, 80 games total. So, 60-ish, 70-ish games, no pun intended. But this is ridiculous to me that that's a thing. And we're going to end it with Lander basketball in the day. This has been a fairly quick, rapid-fire episode. We've got a lot of stuff done today. Lander basketball with a 30-6 overall record during the season for the guys. Peach Belt regular season champions with a conference record of 17-3. They were conference tournament champions. I got to go watch the quarterfinal of the Peach Belt championship. That was a fun game to watch. It was USC Aiken, and at halftime it was like 49-49, and there was zero defense. It was ridiculous in the first half. No defense whatsoever. And I remember I walked over to find Coach Loudon, who was sitting there watching the game. I think he goes to most of the Lander home games. And he goes, and we're just like, there's 35 seconds left on like the halftime timer that's showing. And it's, are they going to come out? And he goes, no, they're probably still getting cussed out about not playing defense. I was like, that's a very valid point. And then they came out and won the game by 10. And a lot of local kids were there, a lot of college kids, a lot of kids there. But it was crazy because it was over spring break for Lander. It was over Lander's spring break. And it's like, this is good. Like, it was mostly your like parents of the like family of the players, or a handful of high school kids were there that I know, and a handful of kids that live locally, but none of like the kids who aren't from around here, which is unfortunate. But yeah, unfortunately, the timing ended like that. But they had a really good runner up there, and the national championship runner up, they did a really good job there doing that. I'm going to take a quick moment to find their exact, like, who they beat in the NCAA tournament. But yeah, this is their basketball schedule. So they, after we got to the NCAA tournament, they beat Lincoln Memorial in the first round by 5. This was in Anderson. And then they beat Columbus State in the round of 32, also in Anderson. And then they won the Sweet 16. They demolished Lenoir Ryan in the Sweet 16, winning 86-62. Pretty big deal there. And then they go to the Elite Eight in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, win that one by 3 over Damon, D-A-E-M-E-N. Damien, that maybe. Very odd spelling of a team, but they played that one and won narrowly. Then they went and played Nova Southeastern. They were the reigning national champions and beat them by 10. That was in Pittsburgh as well. And then they went to go play in Indianapolis and got just outplayed. They had a lot of guys on that Gannon team that I think you'll see playing for a Division I team next year. But it was really good. What were your thoughts on the Lander game that you watched?
Yeah, I mean, the Gannon team had that same don't quit attitude, because Lander came out pretty hot and took an early lead, maybe a third of the first half. They looked like they were going to give it a good fight, and then that Gannon team was legit. They stuck with it. Their inside presence was bothersome. And then Lander just couldn't hit buckets. Is that the guy's name?
Pritzel.
He couldn't get going, and the announcers were telling me more about this team than I knew. They're like, he's the key, and if that's the case...
He came alive in the second half during the nap.
Him not catching fire and staying on fire early definitely affected the team. But yeah, shout out to the Gannon team.
Pritzel came alive in the from minute 18 of the second half to minute 12 of the second half, and then I stopped watching because I was bored. It literally put him to sleep. And so not trying to be mean, but it just Sunday morning evening nap time hit there, and so it was just like, whatever. And so we decided to stop watching. But I'm very excited. I wrote this down in my rundown. I'm extremely excited to be a student there next season and to watch next season's games. Guys, girls, heck, wrestling even. I'll probably pop out to some of those. It'll be really fun to watch these teams compete. And obviously, the coach over there has some talent and has some great stuff. They had a freshman starting guard who had probably half of Lander's first half points. He went nuts. He had 10 or 11 to start the game. I know we had the first 6 of the game. Absolutely crazy. Pritzel finally heated up at some point, but yeah, that number 10 kid, I wish I knew his name. I can't remember his name, but he played phenomenally, and I'm very happy to see him, and I'm curious if any of these guys are going to be able to go play at the D1 level, and if so, it would be pretty awesome to see, but who knows, man, what could happen. But yeah, if that's all... Is that all you have
That's
for the day?
All
Is there
I
anything
got.
We got? All right.
And by the way, one last thing on the Mike Malone news. It is the same guy from the Carolina Insider podcast. It was back in October of 2025. There's a Carolina Insider podcast episode where they interviewed Mike Malone. And just from my memory of it, was a great interview. Really interesting dude. And I can remember thinking, I have not yet gone back and listened to it. I probably will. But I remember thinking, I really like this guy's coaching philosophy. I really like the way this guy talks about excellence and talks about the way he coached those Denver teams. He did win a world championship with Denver as a head coach. And my gut reaction, our fast reaction here to the Mike Malone hire is a hopeful shrug. Hey,
yeah,
maybe.
For sure.
Maybe, because I do remember that podcast episode thinking, man, he has tremendous respect for the University of North Carolina. He never treated himself like an insider. He didn't talk about it like an insider. Obviously, he's not an insider, and so it would have been weird had he talked about it like an insider. But I did see immense amounts of respect for Carolina, the institution.
And I'm more excited that it's an unproven guy mm-hmm. than a guy from 10, 15 years ago who was elite, because right. that's 10, 15 years ago. And so we're getting a guy who's now in the present instead of a guy who's like, when I was at Florida, this worked. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool, dude. That would be like Jay Wright coming in there and doing it. That was cool, bro. 10 years ago. We get it. We respect you. Jay Wright will probably hate forever because of the 2016 game, but still, it's just I'd much rather see someone who's unproven at the college level, and he's proven himself at the NBA level.
Yeah.
And so it's not like Billy Donovan, who's like, Billy Donovan's kind of going down that, who was it? Like Urban Meyer, Nick Saban kind of, whereas like they're elite in college, they go to the pros for a few months, get fired, go down back to the college level. The difference is with Donovan is Donovan went there for half a decade, or really he's been there for over a decade, because he was there when I believe Billy Donovan was there when Oklahoma City and like KD and Russ and all them were there. And so it's pretty awesome. Other than that, that's all we have here. Mike Malone is now the UNC head basketball coach. Pretty awesome news there. But yeah, so we will see you guys next time. Wildcat sports wise, we already mentioned baseball back in action tonight. That'll be a fun one. So this will have already happened by the time you listen to this. And then when do we play again after that? Wednesday?
Sure.
There's going to be two games this week. I believe Monday and Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, somewhere in there. So there's another chance to catch the Wildcats. It'll be on the road at Greenwood Christian, though. So you'll have to catch that one. But yeah, thank you all for watching, and we will see you guys next time. Go Wildcats.